Connie Niebuhr, you went to Tanzania back in 2005.
That's right.
And what did you see there?
I think I was pretty impacted by the poverty that was there, the amount of orphans that were there, the just the, you know, how hopeless it seemed at that time.
What brought you there?
You know, I had just turned 40. I didn't have kids. I wasn't married. And I'm like, I got to do something. And I had seen an interview on the Today Show about volunteer vacations. And I did a little research. And like, that's where I went. It was off.
It's interesting that you know that you don't have kids.
I do not have my own children.
Now you are working to care for a lot of kids.
Yes.
And that's part of why you're still connected to Tanzania all these years later, because of something called the Karama Connection.
Right.
Okay, and there are 15 kids
right.
that you are the legal guardian
right.
of.
Our orphanages, yeah.
Yeah, so talk about what their living situation is like now that this orphanage is established and your role in that.
Right. Well, now their living situation is pretty good. You know, they're pretty happy. As a matter of fact, you know, some people want to bring their kids there, you know, just because it's better than what they have. But, you know, they get great nutrition. They have a great roof over their head. Some of them are in private education. Some of them are in the government education. So their life is pretty decent for the standards there.
And what was the life like for those kids prior to getting the opportunity to live in this orphanage?
Well, some of them have, you know, some autoimmune diseases. Some of them have been abused. Some have been sexually abused. So it's pretty bad. It's for those children. It's you know, especially if you have an autoimmune disease, that, you know, if you're only getting one meal a day, you're not going to really survive that. If you're not, you know, and a lot of kids only get one meal a day. And sometimes some of our children will go home to visit some family, and then they come back, and it's, you know, we got to readjust them because they're not getting enough food, or we have to send food home with them to visit with them.
What can you tell us about Tanzania that, I mean, we probably don't know a whole lot
right.
about it just in general, but what causes the poverty and the family situations that people in that country experience?
Well, I mean, a lot of African countries just have big poverty, and they don't have a good communication system. At least back in 2005 when I started, there are a lot of false stories going around, maybe about the HIV epidemic, and some of my children have lost parents from HIV, so, you know, there's, you know, other family members either didn't want to take them in or just didn't, you know, didn't have the means to take them in. So, but it's a peaceful country because the first president back in 61 had, you know, teenagers going, hey, you're good in science, you go to that city. You're good in math, you go to that city. So all the tribes intermingled. So they don't have that tribal issue that a lot of the countries have, but it's just a lot of poverty from, you know, just years of not being able to have the infrastructure of, you know, like first world countries.
I'm sure that a lot of the parents who are listening to us are thinking, wow, caring for 15 children has to be quite costly. So this nonprofit, the Karama Connection,
right.
how much does it cost to take care of that number of kids?
Surprisingly, it's not that expensive because the cost of living is a lot cheaper there, but our budget's about $60,000 a year. I don't take a salary from that, but we have six people we pay out of that. We have 15 children that we're paying. We have, you know, a few private schools that we're paying from that, and plus medical expenses and food. So it's a pretty, you know, it's about an average family budget, only we're paying six salaries with that as well.
All of that support comes from $60,000
yeah.
in Tanzania. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so recently there was a fundraiser, and Dr. John Mendelson of the medical, he's the medical director of Advanced Cosmetic Surgery Research Centers. He's also with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And you have assisted in raising some funds. I'm wondering how you got connected to this story and what inspired you to join up.
Yeah, so first of all, we started a foundation back in 2005. It's called the Mendelson Foundation for the Arts. We have, prior to that, we've had very caring and giving patients for local causes and national causes that we've participated in. So through our foundation, we've looked for some causes on a personal level. I'll just share my story. I had an uncle who died from AIDS back in the 80s, and it led me personally to do some biochemistry and molecular biology research, and I was fortunate enough to work with the gentleman who discovered the first human retrovirus. It's called HTLV-1. HIV is the fourth one. And so it's been a personal and career path for me. I ran into Connie, and I've always wanted to go to Africa anyway, who wouldn't? And So we started talking. I learned what she did, and there was obviously, maybe it was fate, whatever it was, but we started talking, and there was an opportunity for us to travel. So my wife and kids were able to go over to Tanzania, and we were able to visit the orphanage. They've since moved, but we got to meet 15 of the kids at the time, some of them come in and out. And one of the things through the Mendelsohn Foundation that we've done, this is another local nonprofit called Happen Inc., and it's in the north side. And we started something called the Butterfly Project. This was back in 2005. And so the Butterfly Project was something where we would go to schools in need, mostly locally, to teach children about butterfly life stages, and so that we could communicate with them and they could share some of the challenges and difficulties that they faced. So through that, they would place ceramic butterflies. A butterfly would go home to the child and the family as a wind chime or a garden ornament. One would come back to us, our foundation. We would sell it for $35 at other events and raise monies. So we took the Butterfly Project to the children at the orphanage. And so they spent time glazing butterflies, and some of those are in their garden now. Some of them came back, and we've sold them. So, and through that relationship, through the kids in Northside, through Happen, and through Connie, they've started now a book club also. So we've got this global book club going on between the kids.
So the kids here in America have some sort of relationship.
They're cultivating a relationship, and so that's really been wonderful. So anyway, what led me to this was really just meeting Connie, and a lot of my passions and interests just worked out, and now we and our patients are able to provide some care for the kids.
And John, how old were your kids when they went over with you?
They were, that's a good question. You caught me here. They were maybe 17-ish, 18.
17. I'm wondering if you can recall what their reaction was to seeing life for kids in that country.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think, you know, my daughter is sort of driven to, she's one of these people, her life purpose is going to be helping others. She's wants to go into speech and language pathology. She's working with autistic kids now, tutoring them, and so she's probably a little more mature at the time. Dealing with children, she babysat and all of those types of things. So immediately she had an affinity for these kids and really, really enjoyed it. My son clearly recognized the difference between what we have here in the U.S. and what these children were dealing with, and I think it was very impactful. It takes him a little longer to warm up, I think, but it was a fantastic experience for all of us.
And Dr. Mendelsohn, you have a very specialized type of care that you provide here locally. Is there a medical connection to the work that you're doing over in Tanzania at all?
Well, not directly. When we were there, we did bring some medical supplies. There were some minor procedures that we performed. I'll share a story here. So one of the children wants to go to medical school. At Harvard.
Harvard Medical School.
So prior to our trip, we sent over, you know, those big SAT books, and so when we got there, she was sharing that she read all but three chapters because she hadn't studied that yet, so she was pretty motivated. But during these procedures, we brought her over some scrubs with her name on it, and we taught her how to gown and glove and do some things. And so what was really great is that one of the children with CP had broken his leg after we left and needed surgery, and she was able to assist with the surgery. So her passion is still going into medicine. So that's our connection right now. It's not on a more of a level than a personal level.
And Connie, you live here in the Cincinnati area. All these kids are being taken care of across the globe in Tanzania and
right.
East Africa. So you're not able to go, but twice a year, I understand?
Twice a year, so I spend 3 months a year there.
Okay, so you are there for an extended period
right.
during these visits.
Right.
What is just the basic path to get there? What is the travel situation
like? You
kind
of go
like?
Through Amsterdam down to Kilimanjaro, so it's not a terrible trip, but it does take 24 hours. And when I'm not there, I'm a Skype mom, so I can discipline and, you know, give congratulations over Skype pretty well. So,
and I want to be clear. I'm so taken aback by just how far a dollar, an American dollar, stretches there. That
right.
And your nonprofit covers your travel expenses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so even that's taken out of
right.
that,
yeah.
that amount of
right.
out of money.
Right.
Okay. And so when you're not there,
right.
and you're Skyping with them,
mm-hmm.
talk about that relationship, how you're able to connect with them, and what you talk about.
Well, we try to do a one-on-one with each kid every week. That's our little mental break for them. And so I try to do a one-on-one on Skype with them. And right now, just a couple weeks ago, I just hired a dyslexia teacher to tutor one of my kids who's getting all F's, you know, because he just can't read. And so twice a week, she's on Skype with him, teaching him. So that just makes me so happy. And then the other kids kind of sit behind him and watch so that they just absorb a little bit of that. So
how do they think of you in their lives?
Well, it depends on the day, just like any mom, you know.
Do they think of you as mom?
Oh yeah, they call me mom. I'm their mom. So I'm pretty much a decision maker for them. And you know, even though I'm not there, it's, you know, direct communication with the staff, and we've worked together for so long, they know how I'm going to answer things now. And you know, it's
a little bit more than 10.
You know, they get embarrassed by me, you know. I'll go into the school sometimes and like, mom, please don't go, you know. But usually I'm going for things that will sound strange here, but I'm going to tell them not to hit my child, you know, because that's a big deal there, and I've gone to every single school and had to deal with that. So, and that's, you know, that can be embarrassing for them because they'll be the only one not being hit, you know. And so, you know, it's a typical parent relationship, you know. They love me, I'd say, you know, 80% of the time, you know, and then you discipline another 20%. So.
And the name of the organization is The Karama Connection. And Connie Neighbor, Cincinnati woman, is the legal guardian. 15 kids who call her mom. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. John Middleton, he's the medical director of Advanced Cosmetic Surgery Laser Center. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
And as far as your fundraiser goes, like total.